We are in Nesivos Shalom on Parshat Re'eh. We're on page Ayin Dalet, the first piece on Re'eh. Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. Pasuk says at the opening of the Parsha, Re'eh Anochi Noten Lifnechem Hayom Bracha Uklala. Behold, I am placing before you today Bracha and Klala, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, blessing and curse. Et ha-bracha asher tishma'u el mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. The bracha that you should listen to the mitzvot of Hashem, your God, who is commanding you today. Va'aklalaim lo tishmu el mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem v'sarta min aderach asher anochi mitzaveh etchem hayom. And the klala, the curse, comes if you don't listen to the mitzvot of Hashem and you go off the path of Hashem, which I'm commanding you today. So says the Nesivos Shalom on these opening group of psukim. Yesh la'avin, ma shedikdeku ha-mefarshim psukim elu. We have to understand that which the mefarshim point out about these psukim. Reshit bo'omro re'e. That he starts out by saying re'e. Halo ayre bedavar hanir el-einayim. That the name of the parsha, the first word of the parsha, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Re'e means to see. And what is he saying in the first paragraph? See the bracha and see the klala. But you can't see the bracha, you can't see the klala. He's saying, see, do the mitzvos, and see, this is what happens if you don't do the mitzvos. What is there to see here? What's the lashon of re'eh? Top of the next page. Od sarich peor, we also have to understand. Mashechozer v'nishne gimel pa'amim halashon hayom. Why does in this paragraph, very short paragraph, three psukim, why does it keep on repeating the word hayom three times, today three times? Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem hayom. Behold, see, I am giving before you today. Et ha-bracha asher tishmu'u et mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem asher anochi metzaveh etchem hayom. That I'm commanding you today. Ve'aklala ve'gomer asher anochi metzaveh etchem hayom. And I'm commanding you, and I'm telling you this is what's going to happen if you don't do the brachas today. What's the emphasis on hayom, today? Ma mashmut bo'omro hayom. V'chein omro, anochi notein. And also it says, I'm going to give. Ma shayach lashon nitina bibracha uklala. What is the meaning of the word notein? Give in the context of bracha and klala. Halo ein ze nitina mamashit kedavar nitan miyad liyad. Meaning, bracha and klala, it's not like he's giving me an actual item. We say notein, to give, we're giving a physical thing. I'm giving you something. You can take it in your hand. What does it mean, the lashon of notain, to give in a literal sense, when we're talking about things that are not literal and physical? Well, they're literal, they're not physical, like bracha and klala, like blessing and curse. V'gam sharei notain, ba'ayin yafe u'notain, u'mashayach inyan netina legabe klala. And also, when a person gives, they should also give in a way that's generous and loving. So how could it be notain when it comes to klala? Because we always have to be giving in a generous and positive way. So why does it use the word notain when it's also talking about klala, curse, which is something which is negative? Uve'etzem ha'inyan nish la'avin d'harei ein ra yored min ha'shamayim v'gam tachlit ha'briyah le'itiv le'borav. We also have to understand that we know that no ra comes from shamayim. No evil, no ra comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from shamayim. And the fact, the whole purpose of the Bria, the whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, lehitiv libruav, in order to give goodness to the created beings, right? Those who are in Derech Hashem, right? God, Tov, the Zulato. The whole goal is to give Tov to the other. It's all to give good. Ve'eich mitba'er le'or zeh inan ha'klala. Again, so then how do we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving klala? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit into the paradigm of reality. Odish lavin, lashon bracha uklala. We also have to understand the wording of bracha and klala, blessing and curse. Sheatzarich liktov b'lashon schar v'onesh. Meaning this paragraph should have been phrased entirely differently. It shouldn't have said, behold, I'm going to give you blessing and curse. It should have been, behold, I'm going to give you reward and punishment. If you do the mitzvahs, I'll give you a reward. And if you do aviras, then I'll give you punishment. Why are we talking about bracha and klala, blessing and curse? Why is this paragraph not talking about schar and onesh? Why isn't using that lashon of reward and punishment? Shrei bracha mashma'o inyana taloi b'nisiyat chayin v'lo lefi ma'aseh adam. Because when we talk about bracha, blessing, that seems to be dependent upon the favor that is being shown to you, not necessarily beat for beat, measure for measure based on your action. Based on the pasuk that's related here, mashmasha bracha hi timurat asher tishmu. It seems to be directly in response to, if you do the mitzvahs, you get bracha, and if you do the aviras, you get klala. V'chein lehefech v'chulei. O diktakua mefarshim bishinuy lashon. The mefarshim also point out in terms of the changing of the wording here. If you look carefully at the Pesukim, the first Pasuk says it's actually a glaring difference between the two. It says by the bracha will come. The bracha is that you will keep the mitzvot. The bracha is that you will keep the mitzvot. And the klala is if you don't keep the mitzvot. Okay, one more time. The bracha is that you keep the mitzvot. And the klala is if you don't keep the mitzvot. Did you see the bracha is, well, the bracha will come if you keep the mitzvot, and the klala will come if you don't keep the mitzvot. Why is it the bracha is that you keep the mitzvot, and the klala is if you don't keep the mitzvot? There's a lot of questions. Let's see where he goes. Let's actually open up the inyan here. So we're in the second paragraph. Take a look inside. Anybody who's joined us, it's great to see you. A bunch of you joined us, it's great to see you all here. No pressure whatsoever. If you want to turn on your screens, it's always great to at least see who I'm learning with. But if not, I'm just happy to have you with us. Okay. Second paragraph. V'yish la'avin ha'inyan. Al pi ma shekatuv b'yisod ha'avoda. We can understand this based on which it says in the Sefer Yisod Ha'avoda. D'b'shem Ari HaKadosh, in the name of the Arizal. She'eno dome adam la'adam miyom briat adam v'hala. So the Arizal says that there's no two people who are alike from Adam Arishon until the end of time. There are no two people that are alike. And no one person can fix what another person needs to fix. Let's let him talk a little bit, and then we'll open this up a little bit. What this means is that every single person, every single one of us, has our own unique shlichus, our own unique mission here, from Shemayim, to fix something unique in this world that only I can fix. That it's because of this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent me from Shemayim down to this world. And nobody who ever existed can fix what I'm here to fix. It's very, very significant, right? So often, in our day and age, we get stuck in loops of low self-esteem. Right? We ask ourselves, really, what's the point of me doing Avodah Hashem today? Really, how much can I daven? Really, how much am I going to learn? Really, what significance do my actions have? If I do this little mitzvah here, I learn for 5 minutes there, I daven, you know, a 3-minute mincha here, like, what difference does it make? I'm not doing anything. And the answer is, no. First of all, you're very significant. You're so significant that there was nobody ever like you in the world before. Which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, the world needs you. The world literally needs you, or you wouldn't be here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you in this world to do something. And so He created you, and He had you wake up this morning because He needs you. And that's why there never was anybody like you, and there never will be anybody like you. He created Rina with exactly what she needs to do what she needs to do in this world. He created Yitz to do exactly what he needs to do in this world as he needs to do it in this world. So too with Meital and Eliora and Rachel and Jacob and Shira and Tova, every single person. If you're here, you're totally unique. And therefore, you're asking, what significance do I have? That's kfira, that question. It's heresy. You're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, you're important, that's why I created you. You think you're unnecessary, you think you're extraneous, you think you'd have no purpose here, you're wrong, and you're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because He put you here. He put you here. And not only did He put you here because you can accomplish something, He put you here because He believes you will accomplish something, and what you will accomplish, you can accomplish, and only you can accomplish. It's not a nice idea. It's not like I want you to feel good and get up in the morning and do stuff because you... No. Like, this is critical. This is totally selfish. Because if He created you, you have a chelek of something you need to do, which I can't do. And Rachel can't do, and Eliora can't do, and Meital can't do. We can't do it. Only you can do it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you uniquely because you're needed here to fix that thing, to create that fixing in this world that only you can do. And if you allow the Yitzhahara to creep into your mind and send you back to bed to sleep the day away and watch the other half of the day with Netflix because you think you have no purpose, because you've gotten lost in a spiral of low self-esteem, we all lose out. You lose out and we all lose out. We need you. You need you. Kiviyachol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs you. Because it cannot get done without you. You are the most important person in the world. Because without you, it will not get done. You're the only one who can do it. You're the only one. Imagine if we had that sense of chiyuv in our lives. That sense of obligation in our lives. Right? Right? With great power comes great responsibility. Right? Meaning that each one of us, we all have tremendous power, but that means you have a responsibility to get up and do it. You have a chiyuv, you're mechayev to take action. It's a very powerful concept. I think we've said this many times in the past. I said this on the Desert Island Torah podcast also. Like it's such a powerful Torah because it's how every day is supposed to start. Right? Without going through the whole piece now of examining every word of Moda'ani, even superficially, the end of it, Rabba Emunatecha. Emuna means faith, faithfulness. Emunatecha means your faith. At the end of Moda'ani, we say, how great a Kadosh Baruch Hu is your faith in me. The second I open my eyes in the morning, one of my first seconds of consciousness needs to be, it's codified in Moda'ani, is to remind myself, and be mechazek myself, God, look how much emuna you have in me, that I will fulfill my goal today, that I have a goal, that I can fulfill that goal, and that I will fulfill that goal, or you wouldn't have wasted sending me back my neshama this morning. It's such a tremendous chizuk in the morning. I literally have a reason, literally, to be here, literally, today, literally. Every one of those words. And only I can do it. It's only me. To jump out of bed with a sense of purpose. I got a Shbaruch who has plans for me today. He has personal plans for me. And he's relying on me. He's depending on me to get that done. Such a tremendous chizuk and reflection to start off the day. Every day we'd get out of bed in a second if we actually said Moda'ani with a little bit of kavana instead of yawning through it, trying to get through bleary eyes where we hit the snooze button and go back to sleep. Right? To just like get up with it. We say those words, there's no snooze button. You're going to snooze through your life? You're going to snooze through your goal? You're going to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, I overslept? But imagine getting up. Imagine getting to where you're supposed to be that day and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, I overslept today. I didn't mean to be late. We would never do such a thing. It's all about realizing it, internalizing it, focusing on it. So he goes forward and he says, "Ve'ish la'avin shalidei zeka inyan re'eh anochi noten lifnechem ayom bracha o'klala." He says, so based on this, we can understand that which it says, re'eh, see, I'm placing before you today blessing and curse, bracha and klala. Delo ayre al kiyum ha-mitzvot v'inanei sachar va'onesh. This whole thing, it's not talking about fulfilling the mitzvot. It's not talking about schar and onesh. It's not talking about reward and punishment. Ela al ha-shlichut ha-miyuchedet v'ha-tafkir ha-adam b'olamo. It's talking about the shlichus. It's talking about the mission and your unique purpose in being in the world today. Ha-bracha g'dola b'yoter ka'asher yehudi memalei at shlichuto ha-elyona u'mitaken oto inyan sheba'avuro yad le'olam. The biggest bracha that there is, hear it, hear the Nesivo Shalom. The biggest bracha in the world is when a Jew fulfills his mission from on high that day and fixes what he's here to fix. And the biggest klala is when I don't fulfill my mission that day. To work and toil 70 years and to walk away with nothing. That's the biggest bracha and the biggest klala that there is. The bracha to know, the sense of fulfillment, that I know that I was sent here for a reason, and I fought to figure out what that reason is, and every day I got one step closer to fulfilling my goal in this world. That's the bracha. The bracha is the fulfillment of my purpose in my life having meaning, the greatest meaning that there is, the meaning that God determined for it, and I lived up to it. And the biggest klala is a life wasted. Chas v'sholom lo aleinu, for a person to look back on 70, 80, 90, 120 years of life, I don't care what you did. If you know what you were really here for, and you're like, man, I blew it. I blew Olam Hazeh. And I'm going to blow Olam Haba. And I'm going to spend eternity, whether or not, whether it's punishment or reflection, whatever it is, to spend eternity looking back and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a job and I slept through it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a job and I bummed out through the whole thing. It's the biggest klala that there is. And that's all on me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting here on the sidelines rooting for me to succeed the entire time. It's not about Schar V'Onesh here. It's bracha and klala. Is your life a life of bracha? Or are you turning your back on the bracha of life? Literally, meaning the meaning of your life is in the meaning and your meaning is in the life. Are you living a life of meaning? A life of tafkid? A life of goal? Are you living up to something? Are you fighting for something? Do you see where you're supposed to be going? Or is your whole life looking back and it's just one big klala? It was a nothing. Chas v'shalom lo'alinu, it's a nothing. I can't tell you every single turning point in my life. Big turning points. To stop and ask myself, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me in this moment? Remember one of the biggest ones that we had. And again, you could be between two positive things. One of the biggest ones that we had was coming right out of Smicha. I've told this story before, but coming right out of Smicha, I was offered one of the only assistant rabbi jobs that was available to somebody coming out of Smicha that year. There were very few on the market, and one of them, the Rev called me up, and he said, listen, we have one candidate, it's you, we're going to go with you. And we were talking with JLIC at the time for campus work, and I said, listen, they're going to make me an offer on this date. We really want to also do campus work. If you make us an offer by this date, we'll seriously consider it. And so, as they are, very, very good, the people who run JLIC, they made us an offer the same Friday. The same Friday, we got an offer from the shul, and we got an offer from to do the campus work. And I remember that it was Erev Shabbos. We were living on the Upper West Side, because I was doing rabbinic internship on the Upper West Side. And my wife and I said, the question was like, what do we do? Even before that, though, that Friday, I called up my mentor. I had a mentor in Smicha, one of the Rosh Yeshiva. And I called him up and I said, you're my rabbinic mentor. Like, what do I do? And he gave a fantastic answer. And it was wild to me that he gave the answer in this way. And again, hear the words now in the context of what we're talking about in this piece in the Sivu Shalom. He said this to me at the time. He said, listen, klape you, in terms of you, take the assistant rabbi job. You take the assistant rabbi job, you do it for 3-4 years, you put in your time, you'll get whatever pulpit you want after that, and you'll be set. He said, klape shmaya, but in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avodas Hashem, you got to go to campus. There's so many souls out there to go and to be mechazik. You got to go to campus. But it's up to you. Both are good routes. You're doing good work either way. To ask yourself that question. The campus work wasn't guaranteed. We were offered Queens College. There was no JLIC there at the time. There was no precedent. We didn't know if it was going to work, if it was going to flop, if I was going to build a reputation. If not, it was going to be both of us, not just me. There was so much riding on it. And the question is, what am I in this world for? And we sat down, my wife and I sat down at Friday night dinner, and we talked and talked and talked for hours. What do we want to do? And it was so clear, like 1,000%, that it was going to be much more dangerous and much less secure, and we didn't know what to expect, and there was no playbook. We had to go to campus. And it was the biggest bracha. We said, we'll do it for 3 years and make aliyah. Bracha means riboy, it means to increase. We did it for 6, and we didn't want to leave. Because when you're living a life of bracha, when you're doing what you know you're supposed to be doing, how could you leave? How could you leave? How could you do anything else? And the other job was the right job. It was the correct job. It was the safe job. Every moment in life, who cares? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? What's my tafkid? What is my goal? Where's my moda'ani going? What does he have emuna in me to accomplish? I need to ask myself that question every time. And almost every time in those situations, the answer has been the less safe answer, the less intuitive answer. But in your, it's a technical term, in your kishkas, you know that that's what you're supposed to be doing. In your insides, you know this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And when you follow that, how could it go any other way? That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, what he put me here for. Who cares what any other route is supposed to be? That's what I'm here for. That's why I'm here. Reminder also that if anybody has any questions, thoughts, comments, you can throw up a hand, you can throw up a thing in the chat on the bottom, but I'm going to keep going. If not, this is a beautiful piece. Let's see what he has to say. We're on the next paragraph, the bottom paragraph in the first column on page Ayin Hey. Vinei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tov u'meitiv v'abrat ha'olam kedei lahanik mitzvo libru'im. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's good. And he's only giving goodness to his creations. And he created the whole world just to give of his goodness to his creations. And he gives every person exactly the conditions that he needs in order to fulfill his purpose in this world. And this is also what it's saying. Re'eh anochi noten lifnechem hayom. Et habracha asher tishmu. See, this is what I'm placing before you today. The bracha that you should hear. Perush, kol ma she'ani noten lifnechem, kol ha'anaga she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, manhig et ha'adam. Meaning, everything I'm placing before you, the whole way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides us in this world, v'chol tnaya chayim she'adam noten bachem, and all of the conditions of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives me, top of the next column. V'akol asoy kedei she'udi yuchal l'maleyat ha'shlichut she'bavrai arad le'olam. It's all exactly what I need to fulfill my purpose in this world. She'ein adam yodea ma'i shlichuto ha'miyuchedet. We don't know automatically why we're here. We have to figure out what our mission is. We have to figure out what our purpose is. Ela k'mamar ha'katuv, like the Pasuk says, Re'ei anochi noten lifnechem hayom. Behold, I'm placing before you today. She'yir'ed, that you should see. The yitbonein, and reflect. B'chol ha'tna'im ha'sovevim oto, with all of the conditions that surround you. She'etz ha'kol natan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'matara asher tishma'u. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you all of these things in order that you should be able to keep the mitzvos. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu atov ha'metiv noten lo et kol tnai ha'chayim alalu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you all of these conditions in your life. She'davka al yadam yuchal l'malei shtikuto ba'olam. That you could fulfill your purpose in this world. To open up our eyes and see the world is a world of bracha. Re'ei, see, anochi noten lifnechem ayo, I'm placing before you, it's right in front of you. All the bracha that you need. So often in life we say to ourselves, if only I would learn more. If only I was a little smarter. If only I had a little less ADD and I was a little more focused. If only I had a little bit more geschmack inside. If only I had parents who would have brought me up more from. If only I would have went to a better high school. If only I would have went to a different Shana Aleph. If only I would have gotten more out of it. If only I went to a different college. If only, if only, if only. If only I was closer to a better minyan. If only I had a better chevra. If only. If only I had. Listen, if only I had his charisma. If only I had her intelligence. If only I had her, you know, the way that she's able to pull everybody together and in a group, the way that if only I had this person's looks, if only, all of those conditions, and the answer is no. Re'ei, it's time to open our eyes. Re'ei, see, open your eyes and see, you have everything you need. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you, and like the Arizal said, there are no two people who are the same, meaning you are created totally unique. And because you're created totally unique because you have a unique tafkid, you have a unique goal that only you can do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created you as you are, and only as you are, for you to do the thing that you need to do. If that's the case, everything in your life is exactly as you need it to be. You don't need his intelligence. You don't need her charisma. You don't need his background. You don't need her focus. You don't need any of that. You have exactly everything you need to do the thing that you need to do. And I'm going to say it even stronger than that. Chas v'shalom lo aleinu, if you had his looks, if you had her charisma, it would totally throw you off. You ever tried to buy something from IKEA and put it together? First of all, God bless you. Second of all, right, the only thing that's the worst thing in the world is when they pull this shtick every once in a while, where they have these prepackaged things, and you're looking at the pieces in front of you, and you're like, I don't know what to do with this piece. I didn't put this piece. And you start freaking out because the whole thing could come apart. And you go over it and over and over, and you see like, oh, it says by the piece, it says for this model or this model, and the piece was extraneous. The piece was not necessary. They made their lives easier and they almost gave you a heart attack. Because you know if you're missing something that it would have gone bad. Lehevich, if you would have tried to shimmy it in somewhere, you could have ruined the whole thing. And guys need to make sure everything, oh, I know what I'm talking about. So we always try to shimmy things in. Right? It's like, oh, I'll just shove it in there. I'll just screw it in there. I'll just like drill a hole in it. No, you're going to ruin the whole thing. That IKEA project is your life. It's your life. And if you're the ego of a guy, and then suddenly you start to try to push in, well, no, like I really am that smart, and I do have that, and you had all these extra things, you'd be running toward a goal that required those capacities, and it would be the wrong goal. There's nothing to be jealous of in life. There's literally nothing to be jealous of. If you realize that you are here to fulfill a goal and that it's your goal and only your goal, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that goal, and he put together that IKEA set, and God doesn't need to make one baggie for two different things. He's got the time and the energy and the effort to put it all together the right way. He made you a special care package. This is your life. These are the tools you need. This is the toolbox you need for what you need to fix in this world. He handed you the toolbox with every tool you need. That's a mechayiv, and that's a lot to think about. Because every tool that's in there, you need. And in that case, if you forget to use something, then you are in big trouble. And lehefich, if you try to snatch it from somebody else, you're going to mess up the whole thing. You're using a tool that's not shayach. Right, Jacob, you're using a flamethrower where it's not shayach to be used. Right, it's not meant to be there. You got to know when you have which thing for what. You got to be able to have that focus. I have exactly what I need to do, exactly what I need to do. There's no jealousy, there's no anger, there's no angst, there's no friction. I have exactly what I need. And lehefech, I have to look deep within inside myself. Again, back to the self-esteem piece. Each one of us have special abilities. We have a toolbox that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. It's called my personality. It's called my capacities. It's called my kochos. That's my toolbox. And if it's whatever's in there, I need in order to fill my purpose in this world. How am I using it? I don't need what he has. I don't need what she has. I need only what I have. And I need everything that I have. It's all precise. And if I actually, that hitbonenut, that reflection, the lost art of reflection, that real reflection, hitbodedut, solitude, quietly looking inward, who am I? What am I? What kochos do I have? What capacities do I have? What should I be doing with my life? You know, I'm taking on a new role next year, beyond just teaching. So one of the things that I was looking for when I was looking at the new role that I would take on, I was like, I miss being an administrator. I miss spreadsheets. I miss survey monkeys. I miss data. And I know, okay, so I'm weird and I'm crazy. That's fine, but that requires an honesty to say, I am a loser, and I am weird, and I'm crazy. That's fine. Okay, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me this way. Nebuch HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me this way. He created me to be able to teach, and he created me in order to be able to process data in spreadsheets. And then I get simcha from it. So then I have to do it. And so when I'm looking for something else, that's got to be part of the deal. And I remember, and again, and I'm giving the personal examples because, first of all, we're virtual, so I can't pull anything out of you guys. But I hope, I'm sure you have all your examples inside, or you're struggling with them as you're going through the post-Israel or college or post-college, wherever you're at in life. We all struggle with this all the time. You know, when I was sitting there, I spoke to somebody about potentially going into sales because I also needed to increase income. So I was still thinking about going into sales. And it was a big turning point for me. And the person retracted the statement a little bit afterward, which is fine. But he said exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed him to tell me at the time. That was the most important thing. I heard exactly what I needed to hear at the time. Very, very brilliant guy, sweet guy, gave his time. I have nothing but nice things to say about the guy. Tremendous, tremendous, Ovad Hashem, Yirat Shemayim. I said to him, I was like, listen, we've been talking for an hour. What's the gishmak that you get out of sales? And he said, it's that there's this goal of getting, of making another sale and bringing in another amount of money. The gishmak of getting that next amount of money, that's the gishmak. And I spoke to him afterward, he actually meant something different, but I heard what I needed to hear. That's what I heard. And I was like, wow. And I took a moment, I was like, this guy really thinks I can do it. He believes in me, and he's retired on sales. He's retired already. And he's telling me I can do this, that I can make a lot of money off of this. But I sat there and said, is my goal in life to make tons? I have to feed my family. Is it to make tons of money? I don't think so. Will I get a geschmack about getting the next $1,000, $1,000,000? I know myself. I was like, there's no geschmack there. It's nice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me with the ability to do sales, but I don't think that's where I'm supposed to go. And I kept looking at other things and other things and other things and other things to take the, as those of you who know me know, took the longest road possible to come back to the exact same destination. Seder, fine. But with an understanding of the kochos, meaning of an understanding of, and it's very scary to say no to something that you know isn't good for you. I said no to things. I said no to things that were going to pay a lot more money. I said no to things that were going to pay some more money. I said no to things that were a lot more exciting on paper. But I said yes to the thing that I said, my neshama tells me, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do. And that's not gaiva, that's not ego. You have to, that's the classic about Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu was anav me'od mikol ha'adam ashal pnei adama, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the biggest anav in the world. How is Moshe Rabbeinu the biggest anav in the world? He led the Jewish people. He didn't need so many flows to Mitzrayim. He went up to Har Sinai and got the tablets twice. You telling me he's an anav? What kind of, he had to be crazy. No. Saying that you're a nothing when you're a something is lying to yourself. Saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me certain kochos and all I'm doing is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects me to do with the tools that he gave me that belong to him. That's humility. That's real honesty. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I meant to do? Not because I'm special. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me these things. He gave me a job. I'm as good as the tools that I'm given. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the best boss in the world. And he gave me the tools. And he expects me to do the job. Okay. Where's the gaiva in that? Where's the ego in that? That simply asks myself the question, am I living up to my goal or am I not? And when I do, it's pure bracha. If any of you have ever been, and again, whatever stage of life you're at, I'm looking at the people who are on the screen for the moment, right? When you've switched into the proper shir in Shana Aleph, when you were in a bad shir, and you switch into the right shir, and you're like, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be. And you're like, this is what I was meant to be learning. When you switch to a different class, and you're like, well, I can't believe I picked that major. That was so crazy. This is the major. I know my parents wanted me to be that major, but I know in my heart, this is the major I'm supposed to be doing. When you switch to a different shul and you have that moment of like, this is the minion I was looking for. I just wanted to dive into a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what I needed in order to do that. All I want to do is talk to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I just needed the proper form. Switching jobs. Adapting to roles in family life. Roles in marriage. Roles with children. Whatever stage of life you're at. Looking at those kochos. And when you make those right choices, when you pick the right shir, and you pick the right minyan, and you pick the right chavruta, and you pick the right class, and you pick the right major, and you pick the right job, and you pick the... When you're in those spaces, re'eh, and you open your eyes, your whole world is bracha. You may have a lot less money than you thought. You may have a lot more money than you thought. You may be in Yerushalayim. You may be in Beit Shemesh. You may be in Teaneck. Nebuchadnezzar, you may be in California. Wherever you end up, you may even be in Maryland, but don't tell. Right? Wherever you end up, you're in that space, you're in that place. You didn't know, but you look around and you say to yourself, it's all bracha. This is where I'm supposed to be, and I'm who I'm supposed to be, and if I live up to it, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And you know, deep down I believe it. Maybe I'm wrong, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't give me a klala that I should have the experience the other way. I've experienced it at least in my life. When I'm where I'm supposed to be, I know exactly that I'm supposed to be there. And when I'm not, deep down, I know I'm not supposed to be there. Even if it's in a good place, even if it's a good thing, deep down, I know. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can. If you look around and you see bracha, this is where I'm supposed to be. And if not, you say, what do I need to change? What tool am I not using? What koach am I not using? What capacity am I not using? What am I not bringing out of myself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs me to bring into the world? Needs me to bring into the world because he gave it to me. And only I can do it. And when you do that, all of life is bracha. All of life is bracha. And it's just opening up to that. Accepting that, embracing that, and living it to its fullest because that's the whole life that you have. Let's finish the paragraph. V'zeu perush et ha-bracha asher tishmeu. The bracha that you should keep the mitzvos. Shenemar, belashon asher v'lo im. It doesn't say the bracha is if you keep the mitzvos. The bracha is that you are keeping the mitzvos. Dehainu shakarash baruch hu noten et kol ha'tnaim rak bishvil bracha. Meaning, et ha-bracha asher tishmeu, the bracha is that you should do it. The bracha is doing it. The reality of bracha is living a life of meaning, living a life where I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. That is bracha. It's a bracha asher tishmu. The bracha is being in that reality. Sheyimalei shlichut ba'olam, that you're fulfilling your purpose in this world, your shlichus in this world. V'rak im lo tishmu, and it's only if you don't do that, if you turn your back on your shlichus. As harei ze klala, then you're living a life of klala. Aval mataratam hi asher tishmu, but meaning, the other mefarshim means that a little more clearly, which is that habracha asher tishmu, the status quo is bracha. The bracha is living life. If you dig down and you are who you are, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, the bracha is life. Your life is bracha. There's only klala if you go against it. If you fight your natural inclinations, we're not talking, I mean, obviously you fight your taivas, it's part of the avoda in this world. But if you fight your natural kochos, if you fight your shlichus, if you do the opposite of what you're here to do, then it's klala, it's all klala. Because realize again, even if you're successful, you were successful at the wrong job. Even if you made tons of money, it was money you didn't need and shouldn't have and have nothing to do with. If you're living a life that's not the life you were supposed to be living, how could it possibly be fulfilling? If you go against it, then in achinami, it's klala. What's the status quo? The status quo is to just live your best life as you were supposed to. And then it is bracha. Your life as it was meant to be is a state of bracha. And that's the chab. Let's go to the next paragraph. V'zeu inyan bracha uklala. And this is the topic of bracha and klala. Et ha-bracha shir tishmu. The bracha that you should keep the mitzvos. That you should do. Tachlit ha-bracha hi kasher yudim emalei et shlichuto ba'olam. Again, the goal of the bracha is, it comes when a person fulfills their purpose in this world. V'chol inyan ha-bracha v'akala ha-amor kan kayal zeh. And all the bracha and klal in this paragraph rest on this point. V'lachin lo izkir b'lashon schar va'onesh. So it doesn't talk about schar va'onesh here. It's not talking about reward and punishment. Hashiach le'etzim kiyum mitzvot. That's a specific response to a specific mitzvah. If you do this mitzvah, you get this sachar. If you do this avir lo, you get this onesh. We're not talking about doing a mitzvah or an aveira. We're talking about shlichus. We're talking about tachlis. We're talking about your goal. And that's bracha and klala. Is your life a life of bracha or your life a life of klala? And yeah, you'll get schar if you do the mitzvot. And you'll get onesh if you do the aviras. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a life of bracha. Or lo aleinu lehefech. V'zesh ne'emar. And again, that comes back to re'eh, to open our eyes and see. Re'eh anochi notein lifnechem. I'm giving to you, notein. Dekai al kol atna'im shakadosh baruch notein lo la'adam. We said, what is the bracha and kola? What is the giving here? He's not giving anything. That's the, yes, he is. Look around you. Look at your life. If you have something, literally, if you have something, you have it for a reason. You have it for a purpose. Are you using it for the reason that it's there? If a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to you, are you using it for its tachlis in your life? Very literally, very real, very physical. Do you see it for what it is? Do you see it and understand what it's here for? Are you using it what it's meant to be used for? This thing that's mamish, you're holding in your hand in your life. Shakolu noten lo libracha shir tishmu lemalei shtikoto ba'alam. Because all of this is to fulfill your purpose in this world. Last paragraph, let's finish up, let's at least finish up Aleph, and we'll stop with this paragraph. Let's finish up Aleph. Vinei, tzadiki emes amru, sha'ot ladat maya shtichut hamiyuchedet shelo. So the tzadiki emes, the true tzadikim say, he's going to give us the secret here. I don't know where he's going to go. Let's see he's going to give away the secret though. He says that there's a sign to know what your shlichus is. Got to do the last paragraph. There's a sign to know, for you to know what your shlichus is, your unique shlichus, your unique mission here is. Mahu ha'inyan sheba'avuro yarad le'olam le'takno. The tzaddik Emes said there's a way to know what you were sent down to this world to fix. He says, Hu ha'davar sha'yitzer hara mitkaber alav biyoter. Whatever your Yetzer Hara attacks you on the most, that's what you're here to fix. It's an incredibly powerful concept. Ze siman sheba'avur ze yarad le'olam. It's mamish, a neon sign flashing an arrow saying, this is it. Think about how many times in our life we, because it feels good. And again, there's two different, I think there's also balance here in terms of tachlis. If you have kochos and you have capacities and you have abilities, you have to lean into those. The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you them. But if he gave you challenges, you also have to overcome them. It's both. So in terms of the positive side, we've been talking a lot about the positive side, which is if you have a koach to do this, then you should go and do it. If you have a capacity to do that, you should do that. On the flip side, there's also the negative, which is also very powerful. Most people say like, no, like I struggle with that thing, so okay, Nebuch, that's where I'm going to fail in this world. No. If that's the thing you struggle with most, that's where you need to say, I'm putting in 150, 200% to overcome this thing. Overcoming this thing is what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants me to fix. Most of us run away from it. Most of us hide from it. Most of us have cognitive dissonance because we don't want to admit that we're struggling with it. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's anger, whether it's ego, whether it's jealousy, whether it's physical desire, whether it's struggles in arayos, whether it's struggles in kashrus, whether it's struggles in Shabbos. It doesn't matter what it is. But if you know you struggle with that, it's a neon sign flashing saying, this is why you're here. Baruch Hashem, now you know what you got to fix on the negative side. You know what you got to fix. It's a gift. Ukemo shamru, shadavar sheyehudi, eino yachol itgaber alav b'shum ofen, kim b'mesiras nefesh, that whatever it is that for a Jew, the only thing, if there's something in a Jew's life which he can only accomplish, the only way he can overcome it is mamash with mesiras nefesh, by mamash like killing himself over it. Otu shezeh shtichut she'alav l'taken ba'olam. That's the sign that that's what you're here for. No, but that's the thing, like it's just too hard. Good, that's it. That's it. That's exactly the one you're here for. The one that you thought you couldn't do, the one that was too hard, that's what you're here to do. That's what you're here to do. That specific thing. Right? Those of you who, this past year, this was a theme in my brain at least, right? That's what you hear David Goggins in the back of your head pushing you forward saying, let's go. You know? This is what you're here for. When you're ready to stop, when you're ready to stop at mile 70 and you make it to mile 100, but you just can't. And David Goggins laughs at you and he just keeps going. Right? He's the human, you know, the Chachma Bagoyim, the human example of, on a physical level, when you think you're done, you're never even close to done. On a ruchni level by a Jew, when we see inside and we see, I can't. I can't control my anger. It's not shaykh. No, come on. Listen, some people are shaykh to shomer negiyah. I'm not shaykh to shomer negiyah. It's not for me. The second you say that, the light bulb goes off. This is what I'm here for, so I can and I will. Because it's what I'm here for. It's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu put me here for on the negative side to fix. It also says in Torah Avos, Sheyachol liyot sheyudi yagia leolam ha'elyon lachar. That a person gets to Olam Haba after 120 years. Arichus yamim v'shamim, that's what it means. Arichus yamim v'shamim. Ve'asach b'torah v'avoda. Oh, this is a very, he's going to say here it's heartbreaking. But it needs to be said. He's going to say something very, very harsh here. But it's important to internalize and to leave off with this to really reflect on. He says that even such a case, it could be the of a Jew who mamish comes to a Kadosh Baruch Hu after 120 years. Ve'asach b'torah v'avoda, and he mamish worked and he mamish learned. He was osik in Torah, he was shtaking away, and he was working in avodah, and he was davening like crazy. His whole life was learning Torah and davening. Again, to emphasize, like his father was Rosh Yeshiva, and he was born in the Beis Medrash. His bris milah was in the Beis Medrash. His upshurin was in the Beis Medrash. His bar mitzvah was in the Beis Medrash. His engagement party and his chasna were in the Beis Medrash. He became Rosh Yeshiva in the Beis Medrash. His whole life, he's sitting and learning. His whole life. He never left. And you say, like, this guy's a malach. It's not even a tzaddik. He's a malach. His whole life is Torah and tefillah. He says, it could be, says the Zio Shalom. He's saying this, not me. It could be after 120 years, he gets to Shemayim. V'yishalu oto. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu asks him, Ma asito palta b'olam hazeh? What did you accomplish in this world? Harei kol ma she'asita lo haya b'inyan ha'nidrash mimcha. Everything you did was not what I needed you to do. You had a goal. You had a purpose. V'tava adam she'enu mukhan la'asot dvarim she'lema'anam u'tzarich l'misiras nefesh la'akliv l'imsorat kol ha'yishud shelo. And a person can go through. Again, this person can spend a whole life learning. Now, there's a lot to say on both sides of the aisle. We're attacking one side. Trust me, we can attack both sides equally, just to be clear. I'm not taking a stance. But we see Dafka in our day and age, you see it on one hand, the beautiful amount of just endless, endless people learning in Kollel their whole lives. And on the one hand, it's very beautiful. On the other hand, from personal experience, speaking to some of them, so many guys are learning in Beis Medrash for one reason and one reason alone. I mean, I don't know what else to do with my life. That's the guy he's talking about. That's the guy he's talking about. My Rebbe gives the example. He's a little bit harsher the way that he expresses things. He says, people all the time, they look down on people. Gotta be in Kollel. He said, I want to ask you something. You have a guy who goes to Kollel, and we're talking, again, there's people who should be in Kollel. And they need to be in Kollel. Again, there's both sides in the equation, there's both sides on each side. But he says, you have a guy, let's say a guy, Nebuch, who shouldn't be in Kollel, and he's in Kollel, and he goes there. And he goes, he shows up a few minutes late, he gets a cup of coffee, he schmoozes a little bit, he learns a little bit, grabs a cigarette, another coffee break, goes to get the kids, takes them home, takes a nap, comes back, coffee, cigarette, learns a little bit, comes back out. Like, okay, he was in the Beis Medrash all day. And who does he look down on? Rebbe gives this example, he gave it 20 years ago. The guy went to medical school. The guy went to medical school and he learns stark for an hour solid, nothing else, phone on airplane mode or off. From 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. before his chakras till he goes in and spends the rest of the day in the hospital. He says, who do you think a Kaddish Baruch Hu is happier with? The Nesiv HaShalom, you're saying, in this case, it's the second guy. He knows he was meant to be a doctor. And he's still learning Stark an hour. And he's still davening like crazy. And he's fulfilling what a Kaddish Baruch Hu needed to do, and he's saving lives. That's filling your tafkid. And on the flip side, the guy who goes, the guy who was meant to be in Kollel, I'm not going to say who, there was a guy we were talking about, even in the yeshiva, about what position he should be in, should we move over, should we not, and there was somebody who said, you can't take him out of Kollel. He said, you don't understand, this guy is meant to be in Kollel, and he's going to be a tremendous, tremendous Talmud Chacham. And yes, he could do a lot for Shana Aleph, and he could do a lot for Beth, and he could do a lot for Dalet, and could do a lot for Hay, and could do a lot for this, and could do a lot for that. But he needs to keep learning because that's his tafkid. That's his tafkid. There's no easy answers in Judaism. We like to make it seem like it's simple. Yeah, just learn, just daven, just act super frum. No, you need to be frum. And being frum means being an Eved Hashem. And Eved Hashem means you do what a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants you to do, not what you want to do. Not what you want a Kaddish Baruch Hu to want you to do. You do what a Kaddish Baruch Hu actually wants you to do. And that includes davening. And that includes learning, for sure. It includes mitzvos, for sure. These are baselines and obvious. But to what extent? In what amount? What do I do the rest of my time? How do I organize my life? I need to look at the constellation that is me. Not because I'm so special, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu specially made me to do what I need to do. And it's not a heter not to learn, and it's not a heter not to daven, but it's also not a heter to run in fear of your own life to the Beis Medrash. There's no way out, right? We're sitting on Zoom. You're stuck in this box. You're stuck in this box. There's no way out. This is your life. This is what you have. Can you be honest with yourself and say, these are my kochos, this is what I have to do. These are the things I struggle with. These are what I have to fix. And nothing else matters. Everything else is noise. I'm not jealous. I don't care. I don't want more. I don't need this. I don't want that. I'm not going to try to run away to this. I'm not going to try to run away from that. I'm going to live the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to lead because that's what makes me an Eved Hashem, and that's what gives me, that is the bracha of this world. That's the bracha of Olam Hazeh. And that's what I'm davening for the eyes to see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us all with the eyes to see the fact that we're so unique and so special, be'emes, that we're unique in our kochos and to understand what our kochos are, be'emes. And not to lie, to run away from Torah and mitzvos, chas v'shalom, and to run away from more learning and more davening, and not to lie to ourselves and run towards too much when we don't have the capacity for it, and we have other things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do in this world, but to be honest with ourselves, so we can live the life of bracha, that's the status quo, the baseline, the emes of the life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to lead, that we fix this world to bring us to the next world, and to see that next world come, to see Olam Haba and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, B'shachem, Mir HaBeyaminu, Amin. Shkoach, everybody.